Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It was a hell of a week. It was a fun Friday. Thanks to everybody who was a part of it. I like the 11 o'clock old score 20-minute segment there. Just bringing out the callers and running through our feelings and laughing and crying together. And we can all move into a better emotional place heading into a weekend and know that we should have the serenity to know what we can't control. And this is one of those things, I would imagine.
God grant me the serenity. Yeah.
Thank you to Cody Decker and Joe Giglio for joining us as well. Mark Grody is in for Lawrence Holmes today. And we know what we're all talking about because that was really just a total crap storm.
This is an actual emergency. That was what going through my head as you're listing all these score classics. Like, this was, folks, this is not a drill. If you've been like thinking about calling the score and you haven't, if you've thought about voicing your opinion and you just kind of held back and let everybody on the radio do it, no. Today is the day that you call in and you go full throttle on your opinion. And anybody that was also wavering on Tony La Russa, like they wanted the best for him, they were willing to, have been willing to give him the benefit of the doubt.
So I said his army, yes, of middle-aged, mediocre white men may actually be abandoning their posts.
That is what has
laying
occurred.
Laying down their arms.
And they are picking up the telly to call and to express. I have not seen the text line today, but I imagine it's been ferocious is the word that would come to my head. Ferocious in a good way for all of us in this day of healing and voicing. That's what this is.
Well, let me ask you this question, though, because this was the question that we used to... Wait, hold on. Get out of there.
Uh-oh. I hear stuff.
Being Terry. I don't know. She set it up for me. Miska, my thing.
I don't know.
Come fix my thing. I don't know. I was getting a signal, and now I'm not.
I got the pregame.
Man, Hebrew flus. Some people almost died falling into a vat of chocolate at the M&M Mars factory, and they had to drill a hole in the side, and they were pulled out, and they're okay.
Okay.
They were hospitalized.
Hey, if you got to go, would that be the way?
Well, that's what we said. That's what we said. I said hollandaise sauce.
Oh, that's how we're doing the question. Okay, I would go blue cheese, a really good chunky blue cheese.
I said the same thing to Rick, and Rick threw up on himself.
Oh, please.
Yes.
A good chunky blue cheese?
A good, like, do you ever go to Sabatino's back in the day?
Negative.
Do you remember Sabatino's on Irving Park Road? It's an old Irving Park on the west side of the Kennedy, down about a half a mile. It's long gone, long lamented. Loved the place. It's like no one ever told him it wasn't 1962.
What is it? It's a grocery store?
Italian.
It's a restaurant?
A sit-down Italian place with everything included.
Okay.
Best blue cheese dressing of all time.
Really?
Yeah. Is that really a question?
Best blue cheese dressing ever. Like, yeah, that. Like they're the Sabatino's blue cheese.
Okay.
A vat of that.
That goes. I'll give you a brand name. I don't know if I should do this or not, but I will. You and I were just talking about a store that we both frequent,
yeah.
Bockwinkles. When I go to my Bockwinkles on Ohio, they have what is called Lighthouse Chunky Blue Cheese.
Sure.
Lighthouse in the jar, in the cold section. It's just great. So that's all I have to say about it. But to the spirit, I don't want to get too far away from your question of what sauce would you die for, or what food would you die for, or what dessert would you die for?
Not for,
but essentially, okay, yeah, I guess you don't necessarily want to die. Okay, that you would die in. Yeah, blue cheese for sure.
All right.
The chunky kind.
Done deal. See, we needed that segment to distract ourselves from our misery and powerlessness because none of this matters. None of it. And we're angry and we're up in arms. And what are we going to do? I don't like the White Sox anymore. I'm not going to root for the team. I'm not going to buy. First of all, you are. You're not going anywhere. None of us are going anywhere. There's nothing we can do. This is inside the organization. This is outside the organization. This is us. It is on the roster, it's in the dugout, It's in the front office. It's everywhere. We're all saying the same things, and none of our thoughts matter.
I think we got a step closer, though. This, of course.
There is no closer.
Well, I think that there has to be a closer because everybody has their day. What if Tony La Russa decided he wanted to continue managing the White Sox for the next 7 years? Like, do you think that actually Jerry Reinsdorf would allow him to manage for the next 7 years? My exaggerated, ridiculous example right there is to make the point that everybody has their day. Everybody has their expiration date. And no, I know it's far in the distance.
He had his 10 years ago.
Well, that's true.
He had it 10 years ago when he was fumbling around with a dugout phone and unable to explain who he's getting up and who he's getting down. Oh, my God. Listen, what's wrong with Tony La Russa? He was pickled then.
And
that was a decade ago.
And that's why nobody was going to hire him except for the Chicago White Sox, who would eventually have to also fire this man if he completely and continues to drag the franchise into the ground. I'm not saying that a step closer makes them close. In fact, it probably doesn't. But I do think that this tornado of Tony that is going on today. We've had these tornadoes before, and they are like tornadoes. Like the destruction occurs, then we all have to talk about it, the what we've been through, and then there's the cleanup, and then we have to forget about it and move on with our lives.
We heal and rebuild.
But
yes.
Right, but it's the Midwest, and there's another tornado, and now we have to break down and rebuild again. Each and every one of those tornadoes brings us a little bit closer, but still not close.
It doesn't, though.
You don't think there's any way that Tony La Russa would ever get fired by the White Sox organization?
Not as long as Jerry Reinsdorf is.
So he could be the manager for the next 5 years if he wanted to. No way.
If he wanted to.
No, and continuing to make the mistakes at the rate that he has made.
Yes.
No way.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, like.
Way.
I think Reinsdorf has probably had, like, sort of hiding right now because of just the 2 years.
No, it doesn't care.
Worth of what has happened here. I don't know. I think that if it went on and on and on, eventually you have to. Like the people who aren't talking to Jerry right now and telling him what the right thing to do is, like, for instance, Rick Hahn, we don't know what his conversations are, but I would guess he has not said anything to Jerry, right?
I think that eventually guys like that would.
People say things to Jerry all the time.
We got to be real, real.
Yeah.
You think that Rick Hahn actually has gone up to Jerry and said,
a lot of people have and do. It doesn't matter.
But in the way of, dude, you're messing this up, not just a friendly suggestion to the boss.
It doesn't matter.
Wow.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, that's frightening then. Because then Tony could be the
Jerry's
manager for the
guy.
Next 5 years.
Jerry goes out to lunch with his friends. Jerry's around.
I know.
He isn't some recluse. He doesn't hide. He just legitimately isn't bothered by it.
Just Jenny from the block.
He's just not. He's just. This doesn't. It doesn't bother him. He made a commitment to his guy for reasons that were important to him, and the conclusion is he made a commitment to his guy for reasons that were important to him.
Do you think in their conversation, because there obviously had to been some, probably over the years, there's been conversations about this. What do you think the behind the scenes agreement is for this to end? How does it end?
I don't think there is that agreement.
No, but do you think that Jerry Reinsdorf told Tony, it's your job for as long as you want.
I don't know.
Handshake, bye-bye.
I don't know the length of any contract. We don't know.
There's got to be an end game agreement between the two. Because Jerry, it's plausible that Jerry said, I will not fire you.
But that's why he's so defiant. That's why Tony La Russa can stand there yesterday with one of the worst managerial decisions of all time and chastise people for daring to ask about it, because not only was it not wrong, it was 100% right, no question. That there's he can do that.
What I was wondering yesterday with that was Tony La Russa tipped off by PR, by media relations, that you're probably going to get the, because no,
that doesn't happen.
I think it does happen. I think that, like, a lot of PR staffs will prep their guys to say, hey, guess what? This happened yesterday. There will be questions about it. I don't know what how that changes right after a baseball game. Like, would media relations also be like, hey, just so you know, here's the hot topic? It felt like Tony knew that the questions might come, even though he was exasperated. Like, he was ready to answer those questions.
I think the way that goes down is, Tony, obviously people are going to talk, they don't ask about my decisions, I'll tell them about my decisions. And he came in there. He came in there jut-jawed, standing there waiting to tell people they're all wrong.
Yeah.
So but there isn't a lot of a forethought there. There isn't, on good teams, on well-run, any well-run organization,
manager,
before you meet the media.
Ready for anything.
Well, but a confident manager is like, it's fine, I can handle it, I'll talk, it's just talking, it's no big deal. But in a well-run organization that does rely on that kind of help from media relations, you would have somebody with a list of talking points. You'd have to say, here's what you're likely to be asked about. Here are ways you may want to explain some of these things.
Yes.
That's not
happening. Yeah, like he wouldn't want to hear any of that kind of stuff.
No.
Or if he did. I think ahead of something, like the stuff that Tony had to deal with when he was first hired, because he deserved
to deal with that. Oh, when he's explaining away his crimes and all that?
That's all very coach there,
correct.
Of course.
Correct.
And that's typically when the media training comes in for managers of any sport, is if there is something controversial that has occurred. Like with a small case, it would be the Bears the other day with getting the practice taken away and Matt Eberflus beginning his press conference with answering or filling in blanks for us. That was obviously something. So here's what you should do. You need
breaking
to start
the law.
Start this.
He's Matt Eberflus.
You need to start this press conference by acknowledging what happened, tell us why it happened, take a bunch of questions on it, and then we could all move on.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking the law.
Yeah, breaking the law.
Still one of the great, maybe the seminal moment to me in Beavis and Butthead.
Yes.
Was because there was the old, like the first season episode where it ends with them because they love Judas Priest.
Yes.
They go, breaking the law.
That's the only way
the
I learned about Judas Priest, to be
but
honest
then,
with you.
Then later, several seasons later, a video comes on and they're watching it and it hasn't gotten to the chorus yet. And it is Judas Priest, but they don't know it. And they kind of think it's lame.
And
Butthead goes like, what is that guy doing with his shoulders?
Oh, yeah.
and they eventually realize, like, it sets in that it's Judas Priest.
Oh, yeah.
And Butthead, there's a long pause. And Butthead says, you know what, Beavis?
What?
I think this sucks.
Moment of truth.
Yes, but it was like this—the integrity.
Yes,
like because the
I have no choice but to say this sucks.
The artistic integrity, the critical integrity,
The
cartoons always differed from their voiceovers of the videos.
Yes,
but the fact that even they had to be honest about how they felt about the video, even though it was one of their favorite bands, like that's when I was like, oh, this, like, let's go, right? Like Mike Judge knew that he had to.
Sorry.
Yes. Because,
sorry.
Because it mattered. Like, if you got it, if it sucks, it sucks.
Let it be told that Dan Bernstein just did. This is one of the great things that's ever occurred in sports radio, I think. There has just been an analogy made between Beavis and Butthead and integrity. That's fantastic, Dan.
It mattered.
It does.
And at the time, it mattered in the music industry when music videos were big. That was like them saying something sucked or ruled carried actual weight.
It ruined Winger. The band Winger, like
I think Winger ruined Winger.
Well, probably.
Well, that's because like
he wore the Winger T-shirt.
Brad?
Kip.
No.
Oh,
no, the
Kip
blonde,
Winger.
The blonde-haired kid, the character, had the Winger shirt.
Yeah. Got Carl or something.
The lame kid.
Something really simple. Hey, Beavis and Butthead, what about...
Right.
Get
out of here.
What's his name? If I do the Beavis and Butthead, maybe it'll channel. That's not that one guy that lives next door. That one dude.
Oh, yeah.
God, what's his name? Somebody text it quickly. Who's the kid and the dumb friend in Beavis and Butthead, the overweight kid who looks like he's just been eating?
The blonde-haired kid.
Right, and they just make fun of him. He's just their
He's their. It's a comic foil.
Yeah, he's their foil and their dork, and but he worships Beavis and Butthead.
He was sick on the day of the first Great Cornholio episode.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's
right. What?
Stewart, thank you.
Stewart,
thank you. 815-217-262. Yes, it was Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Stewart.
Shut up, Stewart.
Yes, they so this is a little embarrassing, but I have been to Winger shows.
Yeah, you have.
And I'm just going to, this is going to sound awful. You're not going to believe me, but I will throw it in there because I have a friend named Steve Smith who is a super fan of all the hair bands. So I go with him to St. Charles and I go to these just because I think it's a fun. The Winger has addressed Beavis and Butthead before.
Really?
And talking about how they gave, like, you could read about it. Like,
but else have you seen? Hold on. Hair metal. Have you seen Rat? Have you seen
Wasp? But I love to see some Rat and Roll, baby.
Okay.
Give it to me.
Round and round.
Round and round. Yeah. Goes around, Dan. Sick.
I'll tell you why.
Have you seen Wasp?
I have not seen Wasp. Negative.
Warrant?
Aren't they dead? I think the lead singer there is dead.
Janie Lane?
She's my cherry pie.
Yeah, I think Janie Lane.
She's my cherry pie.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it.
Looks so good, make a grown man cry.
Journey, Def Leppard.
Okay.
Seeing those are such harmless bands. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, is there a safer band ever than Def Leppard? Because it feels like you're part of something, especially early on, because they rock.
Mm-hmm.
But then you realize it's kind of bubblegummy, and the hooks are big and huge and flowery and fun.
We won an air band championship playing Photograph.
Oh, I bet you did.
Playing Photograph.
Dude, Pyromania. That was the album, kids.
I was the rhythm guitarist using a tennis racket with the removable belt from my terry cloth bathrobe tied onto it as the guitar strap.
Dear.
Rocked.
So wait, you were the guitar player for Def Leppard?
For an air a competing uh-huh. at North Star Camp in a contest, you had to pick a song and then you had to create a band to everybody play air instruments, and then it was judged and we won.
But was it was there a Def Leppard link to it too?
Yeah, but saying the Photograph.
Oh, you did. You did Photograph. Yes,
yes.
Yes. I am officially now catching up to that part of the conversation.
Especially that part where it goes.
You still got it, man.
Hey. Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Might have pulled something.
Did they have the was there a one arm drummer doing the thing?
Sure. Yeah. No, I think he might have had two arms at the time. I think when Photograph came out, that was before the drummer lost
his arm.
You're
right. You are correct.
Yes.
I think it was pre-Hysteria. I want to say that he was one-arm drumming on Hysteria.
I think Pour Some Sugar on Me was that the first one-armed hit?
It could have been, which is still just amazing.
Had him backing tracked by a little drum in a box kind of thing.
Yes. I think it's like, it's wonderful that he could continue to survive and thrive as a one-armed drummer. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something. I didn't think he had a chance.
It's not a Spinal Tap bit at that point, at least. Well, the drummer lived, but.
That would be the no-arm drummer. That's more Monty Python, though. They're banging on it with his shoulders.
It's a flesh wound. That's 309. It says, what has nine arms and sucks? Def Leppard.
No, you didn't.
And the 262 says Alpine Valley, Kiss, Winger, Slaughter.
Uh-huh.
Slaughter.
Slaughter. Oh, my goodness. I haven't seen Slaughter.
I slaughtered the Special Olympics.
Slaughter. Yeah, I haven't seen Slaughter, but I'd like to. I'd like to see. What's the one song by Slaughter? Oh, Pray to the Angels. Pray to the Angels. I won't sing it, but... That was the name of the song. Oh, Fly High to the Angels. And I honestly got, when that band first came out, I did, even though I was all wrapped up in grunge, I thought that they sounded a little bit like Led Zeppelin. And I predicted to one of my friends, oh, dude, this is the next Led Zeppelin. And I take crap from it as of most recently last weekend. So that is something that I had proclaimed. and I am wrong for and not better off for.
There was always like that. You'd get to camp and there'd be like the one kid, he'd take out his the like attaché case full of cassettes.
Yes.
And like, oh, so the if you had the boombox, you had a lot of sway in the cabin because you would be in charge of the music. So I often had the boombox. We listened to, you know, Talking Heads and Police and the Cars and a lot of that stuff. But then there'd be that one kid who shows up and he opens the box and it's like Crocus. And it's like, and it's not just that, it's like bootleg Crocus. And it's like someone else has scribbled and like did the artwork. Crocus. Like, but did the artwork in like a purple pen. And it's like, wow, you really like Crocus, huh?
Yeah, Crocus. Here's Mac Breather. Look out.
It's like, well, here's the thing.
Dragon fire.
It's like, all right, well, when we put our duffel bags up for the 8 weeks, why don't we just take your cassettes and kind of put them up there with the stuff we're going to store for the old bus ride home. I don't think it's going to be getting a lot of play this year.
We're going to try to hit some of that hard. Yeah. Oh, the band that opened up for Winger was Firehouse. Do you remember Firehouse? Don't Treat Me Bad. That was the name of the song.
Yeah, don't Treat Me Bad.
Yeah, I know that song.
Yeah, yeah. That was twice I've seen Firehouse open for Warrant.
See, this should be your podcast. This should be.
You're right. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, it Mark Grody's rock and roll dog food memories.
Yes, deep dog like cuts.
80s.
Deep dog cuts. Yeah, my concert
early 80s.
Yes.
Hair metal.
Absolutely. There were a few saviors in there, like AC/DC it credible.
Hey.
They kept it credible.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like thankful for AC/DC. It was like, okay, we all at least know what real rock and roll is still. Cause that's right, everybody knows it's not Def Leppard, Bon Jovi, like it's not really them. This is actually the rock and roll. So that was, I thought, was a good barometer.
Here's 815. Says outdoor venue at a strip club in Ottawa, Illinois. Firehouse, L.A. Guns, Warrant.
Sick.
Rat.
Oh.
And Dawkins.
You be sucking, Dawkins. How about the Bernsteins and the Grody? Go to see the Dan. Maybe you and I need to go to that for like a half an hour and then leave early. I think that we should do that. Oh my God! Read that lineup one more time, please.
I don't know if I should. I think it's Summons Demons.
Yeah,
that was Firehouse, L.A. Guns.
Oh yeah, became Guns N' Roses.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, there were members of Guns N' Roses.
I thought it was like the Rejects.
There was some sort of...
I thought they were like JV.
That might be right.
Okay.
That might be right. Yeah.
Warrant, Rat, and Dawkins.
You'd be sucking. Some comedian did that. I don't remember which.
773, I accidentally saw Slaughter twice. How do you accidentally see Slaughter?
I'm jelly.
How do you... But it looks like I'm seeing Slaughter again. I made a wrong turn at Albuquerque.
The actual explanation would be that this person went to a concert and didn't know who was opening. That would be my guess. And they're like, oh, crap. It's Slaughter again? Oh, Jesus.
I had a restraining order against
him. Yeah, well, at least I could go to the bathroom and not worry about missing anything.
I'm not allowed within 100 yards of a Slaughter concert. Now.
I know how this works. Yeah. I know what's going to happen here. Slaughter.
Yeah. Hey. All right, what are you doing today?
All right, so after all that, we got some... I got a packed show today, Bernsy. Have Paul Sullivan from the Chicago Tribune on. Talk about AJ Pierzynski. Josh Nelson's Sox Machine is coming on, and he has already warned me that he is hot and heavy for the White Sox and Tony La Russa. And then Mark Potash, the always entertaining one who covers the Bears for the Sun-Times, will be on at 1:25 to talk about the Bears and whatever other loose ends we may have.
Enjoy.
Thank you, Dan.